You are now listening to the Steve Des Island Podcast. Get ready for some tropical conversations and some refreshing guests. Now, here's Steve Des.
Hey, what's going on, people? Steve Des in the building. Yeah, Steve Des is here. Right. Now, for a brand new Steve Des Island Podcast, the podcast I bring to you, people that are so talented, they don't fit anywhere in the world than Hollywood. Because that's where all the talent, at least top notch, top grade A talent, comes from. And it's not necessarily comes from here. It just people migrate immediately here because apparently there's gold here in that type of business. And I'm one of them. I want to say, first of all, I want to thank everybody that came to my show at Flappers last night. It was so amazing. It was great. The crowd was amazing. The beer was amazing. The hospitality was amazing. I love y'all. I'll be back. I don't know when, but soon. And yeah, thank you guys. I really, really, really appreciate it. But enough about me. Let's talk about you. And by you, I don't mean you listening to me. I'm talking about my guest right here tonight. Because he's not only a very renowned and, multi-talented guy. Because he's an actor. This guy's an improviser. This guy is a writer. This guy is an assistant director and a director. Oh. Ladies and gentlemen. I don't think you're ready, but I'm still going to tell you who this guy is Mr. Ken Andrews. What?
Thank you. You know, I appreciate the ladies part, you know, because the ladies out there are
soaking wet.
Yeah, that's my key clientele. You know, I don't really care about the dudes, so.
Ken, a.k.a. Superman, a.k.a. Mr. Logic, a.k.a. guy that gets beat down on a Ford Fiesta movement short film.
True that. But, hey, that was fun.
Yeah. That was really fun.
You did some whipping. You whipped Shane's ass in that.
Hell yeah. You know how I do. You know what's funny about it? Shane has a fantasy about that with me because he's the one that choreographed the whole fight.
That's what I was expecting because the whole weekend was like, I'm going to fight Steve. Oh, yeah, Steve and I are just going to get into it. I was like, okay, Shane, simmer down.
When he bust out the baby oil, that's when I said, you're taking it too far, man. It's a Western, you know, we're not supposed to be doing this. This is for Ford, supposed to be family oriented.
Well, I thought you were going to call it when he wanted you to wear the assless chaps. But you were all in on that.
I'm okay with assless chaps. Okay. Like, I don't mind those, you know? As far as he's not touching me on those spots with baby oil.
Okay.
I like bare hands.
Yeah. Okay. You like it rough.
Yeah.
You like it some friction. You don't like a whole lot of lube.
Yeah, it's just my thing.
Yeah, you're not a very generous lover, Steve.
I'm not. I like scars. I like marks.
Oh, damn.
I mean, if you're going to... Well, if you go to Vietnam, you expect to get shot, you know?
Okay. So,
what's the point of going if you don't get shot?
So, going into your bedroom is like going to war, is what you're saying.
Basically, I'm a Trojan horse.
Prepare your flak vest, ladies. Steve is going to hurt you.
Prepare your eyes for my assless chaps, people.
Damn. I don't think anybody's ready. Yeah.
It got bits for days. Yo, can you turn that around, the fan?
Is that blowing right into me?
No. I wanted to turn this way because I am hot.
It is junk. Ball sweat hot here. That is one thing about L.A. right now. It is hotter than Hades.
Dude, I got 99 problems, and weather is all of them because it's 99 degrees.
I got up to 101 today on my phone. I know there's people in, like, Arizona and East Texas, man. Psh, 101. I have that in the shade. But
bro, in Vegas. Vegas is, like, the hottest place I've ever been.
Yeah.
Like, I would never go to Vegas again on summer, I think.
No, oh, God, no.
Dude, I was staying... Last time I went... I've been to Vegas, like, probably 2 or 3 times. Last time I went, I was doing the stand-up gig over there. And I was staying... They put me at the Marriott. And on top of the roof, they got a pool. And it's a cool pool. You know, you see all the hot ladies there. You know, it's a pretty chill pool. And there's a bar there. You know, it's pretty nice. It's not like a, like a bar that's in the middle of the pool or anything. Like, it's on the side, but still, it's pretty cool.
And still swim up? You can swim up to it in the water?
Nah, you have to walk there. Okay. Yeah, I wish it was like
now,
that.
Now we're getting ghetto.
Anyway, I mean, it's still good. Yeah.
So you were in the pool top.
So like I was there, bro, and everybody was in the pool. You know why? Because you step outside, that was hot as hell. Yeah. Like, you step barefoot, you can't. You can't. You will burn your feet.
Yeah. Well, I know. We went.
It was like 134.
Ugh. Yeah, I remember. My volleyball team went to Reno for like Junior Olympics once, like in high school. Oh my god, that was just scorching! Like we would run from one building to the next just because otherwise you'd sweat everything out you had. Of course, then running doesn't help either in that kind of heat.
No, oh my, that's one of the things I hated about sports. I don't know why I even did it. At first, it was because I wanted to be so competitive. But I don't know why I was in the track and field team for so many years. Because for me, that wasn't a sport. For me, that was punishment.
Yeah.
Like, to be running in the freaking sun, especially in the island of Puerto Rico, that you're in the middle of the equator and it gets freaking dry, you know?
But what else do you have to do in Puerto Rico besides run around?
I mean...
And dance and drink and eat.
And dance and drink and eat. Yeah. I mean, you got everything, man. Puerto Rico, you got everything, man. The only thing they don't got...
Actually, the Puerto Rican team that came up from...
volleyball?
Olympics, yeah.
Oh, they killed... Yeah, I bet they killed you.
They tore it up.
Yeah. Bro, volleyball is like the number one thing in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Like, everybody is in love with Puerto Rico. I played volleyball, and I quit real quick. I went to a tryouts. I made it to the team, and then I said, you know what? I don't really enjoy playing volleyball. I enjoy watching volleyball, but I enjoy watching girls playing volleyball. So I'll be the first guy on every single women's volleyball game
junior year up. One of my favorite things about volleyball is you can play co-ed, and it's good. It's not like playing baseball.
I've never seen that.
Oh, really? Co-ed volleyball?
No.
Oh, it's awesome. I love playing it, especially because the chicks, like you know, the shorts with their really tall, long legs. Oh, that gets me going. Uh-oh. I'm going to have Steve get his ass with chaps out soon.
You know, for the people listening, Ken is really tall. He's a really tall human being.
Oh, yeah. That's something we forgot to leave out. I'm like 6'7".
You're 6'7"?
Yeah.
You're really 6'7"?
Yeah, because everybody asks. Everybody that walks up is like, how tall are you? I'm like, oh, 6'7".
That's the size of Kobe Bryant.
Yeah?
Because when I met Kobe Bryant, I met him on a 7-Eleven. Out of all places, I meet Kobe Bryant at a 7-Eleven here in downtown L.A.
Wow.
And the first thing I say to myself when I see Kobe, I'm like, damn, this dude is tall.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing, damn. This dude is really skinny. Like, he's super skinny. He looks a little bit buffer on camera, but, you know, camera adds you a little bit, 10 pounds, a little bit of tone.
Yeah, not to mention he's, like, the exact same height as, like, all the other guys. Or he's, like, average in the NBA. Like,
but everybody in the NBA is pretty much skinny.
Yeah. No,
everybody.
Yeah, basketball, you're always going to be skinny guys. They're not going to get huge linebackers. I mean, Shaq's the biggest guy I've ever seen play basketball.
And he's not that fat.
No.
Because he's good for his height. Yeah.
True, but yeah, you just got to be fast, light on your feet.
Yeah, I just remember like when I was a kid, I was like, man, Shaq is really fat, Karl Malone's really fat, but they're not. Like they're skinny dudes because they're running up and down the court all the time.
Yeah, compared to like really skinny ass dudes, yeah, they look fat just standing next to them, but they're average looking when you take that away.
They're just humongous, man. I also met wrestlers, you know, from WWE.
Yeah.
I met them. I was hoping they would do it this year, but they did. I guess Gold's Gym didn't sponsor them or something.
Yeah.
But last year they came here because they do an event here called SummerSlam in the Staples Center, and they will and then I work out here in the gym in Gold's Gym. They will come to Gold's Gym, so I will meet them.
Nice.
Those dudes are freaking tall, man.
They're like, big dudes.
They're huge. Like, I'm not saying just muscle. It's just like they're tall dudes.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're not only tall; they are wide. They're like they're like football player, like big.
Because
football players, linemen, they're all like 6'9", 6'7", stuff like that. But they're like 400 or 500 pounds.
Talk about like my dreams getting crushed, dude! As soon as I saw, I'm like, I could never be a wrestler. I'm so glad I gave up that dream.
Oh, come on. You can be like the skinny little crazy dude that like.
No, because the thing is, that's the thing. I never wanted to be the skinny dude at wrestling because they usually put them, either they squash them or they, if they even got a chance, they're the high flyers.
Yeah.
And I ain't doing no high flying shit.
I was going to say, you could do some crazy acrobat shit.
No, I would do it. If I would be more technical. You know, I would get people with submissions trying to take your leg down.
So you need to do
a Kimura or
something. Yeah. So you need to do some UFC.
Some UFC, that's
like more like what you.
That's what I'm trying to do. I'm actually gonna take MMA classes. I'm trying to do, but I'm trying to get to a target weight first, and then I'm gonna go.
Well, you're not gonna get to that target weight until you start taking classes.
I mean, but I'm going to the gym, and trying to build up that muscle to get there.
Well, like I've taken like some martial arts training, nothing specific, and it's not like no other. You can't train for it. You've just got to go do it, like. You know, because you can work out your muscles, like whatever, like you have to train in whatever you're doing for it to really work your muscles.
Yeah, but imagine if you got 20 more pounds of muscle that you achieve by your own self and you go and kick some dude's ass at MMA.
Yeah.
You kick him ass harder, you know, instead of 20 pounds less.
So the 20
pounds, that's what I'm trying to do.
So 20 pounds is more of a goal for yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, then like some sort of restriction. Like you can't, you don't feel like you can do it unless you're just like, I'm gonna do this and then I'll do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha. I feel you on that.
That's
one.
What I want to do. Yeah. It's not like, I need to have 20.
There's no way.
It's not like I'm competing. Yeah. I'm not going against Floyd Mayweather. You know?
Exactly. So, well, at least not yet.
Not yet.
Kick his ass, but.
Yeah. Hey, Floyd, if you listen to this podcast, holla at your boy because I don't mind losing for a couple $1 million.
Steve Dez wants to take you down in the ring. But you're probably going
to
whip
his
ass.
Man, it crushed my dreams to, like, get to know that, like, boxing is super fixed. Like,
boxing is fixed?
Boxing is fixed a lot of times.
It doesn't surprise me, but I was like, wow. I guess that does kind of surprise me. I thought they were just the kind of guys that just wail on each other. I can imagine sometimes where it's just, like, a little bit it's planned. Like, you know, I did see the movie Snatch. So, you know, I do realize that some boxing is fixed. Because everything in movies is real. That's where I base all of my life lessons on.
All your life lessons?
Yes.
I mean, movies expose also truths. Because Area 51 was pretty... Nobody knew about that until they made movies about it. And people were... Because conspiracy theorists were like, oh, my God, 51. And now the government said, oh, yeah, there's an Area 51.
Yeah.
And we test planes here, and that's all we're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it.
That's all. Well, of course. Yeah.
Now, excuse me, sir. Are there any aliens there? No comment.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you keep asking, that's when you wake up in the middle of the desert with all your family and your,
and
like,
Ford Fiesta.
Yes, and the Ford
bringing
Fiesta.
Bringing it back.
Yes.
Sponsored by Ford. No, Ford
hashtag
is not paying.
Fiesta movement. Hashtag Fiesta. Hashtag.
Hashtag Fiesta movement.
Hashtag,
the
hashtag.
Movie. Hashtag short film. Hashtag tall dude with glasses and jacket getting his ass beat.
Yes, that is the
by
first.
By a student from USC.
Man, I didn't get worked over. Hey, I got my licks in, though. Yeah, I put up a good fight.
Hey, use it for your reel.
That's right. I know. We need to get hold of that footage. I want to get, because he got some really cool clips of the fight scenes beyond like what he actually used. Because he only used like 2 seconds of all like those. Like,
yeah. I was
3 hours of shooting all those fight scenes we did.
3 hours of walking and then 2 seconds of fighting.
I noticed he used the weak version of you throwing the tire at him in that take.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a weak.
I know. Like, what? He used that take after we complained about it? Oh, that's cool.
Your thing was kind of turned on. Like, talk right now.
No.
There you go. I heard like I
was having a flashback.
Oh, my God. You back? You okay?
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. I was just thinking about Nam. It just takes me to another place.
Have you seen that show, Duck Dynasty?
No, I haven't. I need to. Everybody's blown
up
about it.
Dude, I got some episodes here.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It just seems too much like my old job. Same. Yeah, I used to work in a refinery in Texas. What is it? South of Houston, Texas City or League City? I think was the refinery.
League City.
Yeah, League City.
League or leak?
League, baseball league. Actually, I'm butchering this. No, That is not it. It's next to League City. I think Baytown. There it is. Baytown is the name I was looking for. I might be wrong on that. No, I'm right on that one. Anyways, it's the Amoco refinery back when they were Amoco, and I was a fire watch, and I would fall asleep all the time. So they can't constantly get pissed off at me because how are you supposed to catch fires if you're asleep? So, but I mean, it's we're talking. I was in 100 degree heat is in the middle of the summer, and I'm sitting here in like a full FRC. It's like the fire retardant clothing. It's like full coveralls, hard hat, boots, gloves, like everything. And I'm sitting in like this heat, watching guys weld stuff. And I'm, you know, after like 30 minutes of that, I just pass out. So
how do you even stumble upon a job like that? Were you like really desperate, or you just I just found this first job. I look on Craigslist. Well, let's apply for it.
It was a summertime job, but yeah, you pretty much that's how you get those.
Because even I turned down jobs, and they're not as bad as those.
Yeah,
like McDonald's was hitting me up, and I said no thanks. Yeah. You know.
Well, actually, this paid like twice as much as any McDonald's does. Because like the plants, even if you're like a grunt. Like working, like doing nothing, like pushing a broom, you're making more money than you could at McDonald's. So it's not bad work. It's contractor work. You know, you start. You know, everybody starts at the base level like that. So I was like, my mom actually worked in the refinery, so she called one of her friends and hooked me up with a summer job. She's like trying to get me to get exposure to the world. So I was motivation to go finish school.
But, how old were you when this happened?
I think it was like 19.
19? You're already a grown man.
Yeah. Well, I was in college, so it was a summer job. So in between.
What were you studying?
Oh, shoot. What didn't I study?
Were you one of those that changed majors every 5 minutes? Like, oh, psychology. Biology.
And schools. Yeah, I think I've had like four different colleges / universities. I'm working on number 5.
You're working on number 5.
I still need to finish. The motivation didn't click all
which
the way.
Which one named them?
I started off at University of Utah, then William Woods University, and then I went to San Jacinto College, and then University of Houston.
And what's number 5?
I just applied to Glendale Community College, but to study film, but I don't have time to go right now. So.
My roommate's in Pasadena.
Really?
Community College, yeah.
Wow, he drives all the way to Pasadena from here?
No, he doesn't even have a car.
Oh, wow. How the...
He probably got dropped off.
Okay, but still, that's a trek.
Mm-hmm.
From Koreatown to... Well, you're downtown, not Koreatown. From downtown to Pasadena?
Mm-hmm.
Public transportation? Oof. LACC is just a train ride away.
Isn't there a... you can do connecting trains, right?
Yeah. Well, there's no train going out to Pasadena, I don't think.
No?
Is there? I didn't think so.
Not sure.
We'll ask him
later.
There's buses, but yeah. Well, my cousin, he lived here forever, and he lives in Hollywood, and he commutes down to Disneyland like 3 or 4 days a week because he's a character actor there. And
what does he play?
He gets to play a bunch of cool. He's like a prince. Like he's been like Aladdin. He's been
those.
Yeah. I don't know all the princes' names in the fairy tales, but you know, like all the stereotypical princes. He gets to play Jack. Like when they do like the night before.
He gets to hook you up with tickets.
Word. Hell yeah.
Yo, hook me up, dude. I haven't been to Disneyland yet.
Hell yeah. And then we get front of the line passes. So.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So
guys,
with Steven,
guys,
we're gonna have a live.
Thank God, gay marriage is approved in California.
Amen.
Because I'm gonna get married with Ken now,
uh-oh.
And we're gonna go to Disneyland and have wonderful memories together.
Actually, his husband will be taking us around. So thank God for gay marriage.
No, seriously, I want to go to Disneyland, dude.
Yeah,
you need to let me know a day you can.
Well, I know I'm. Hopefully we're coming up soon because when he's going to start doing be Jack Skelton again. So yeah.
For Halloween.
Yeah. So if you got a guy, if you go to Disneyland and Jack Skelton screws with you, that's probably my cousin. Just play it back. He's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a smart ass.
What about if I punch him right in the nose?
he's a very, very patient person, so he will stay in character and just take it. But dude, he's a big dude. Like, he could tear you apart. Like, he's like 6'1", like more buff than me. And
have you ever seen a Disney character break out a character? Like a Disney?
I haven't, but he has. He's telling about stories of people just freaking out.
I saw that video. There was a video about Disney in, like, Paris. And, like, people were, like, in those Disney Mickey and Minnie costumes. And they were fucking. Like, they were, like, fake, you know, humping each other. And damn. Somebody filmed it on tape. And they got fired.
Yeah. Mickey and Minnie are not allowed to fuck in public.
Yeah, and then they're fucking goofy and shit. Like, is this whole funny bit that they were doing. It's just, like, humping each other.
Well, I guess they figured since Euro Disney was empty, no one would see it. But, you know, there's the old YouTube.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
To lose a job like that.
I know. Oh, well. They'll probably go get on the cruise ship or something. That's where all the Disney rejects go.
To the cruise ship. To the cruise ships.
To the cruise ship.
Dude, cruise ships broken my life.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, because I was fighting for this dude. There's this guy, right? I did... the first time I ever did stand-up in L.A. was in the college I was in, which is called AMDA, the American Musical Dramatic Academy.
Ooh.
And when I was there, there was this whole stand-up program. So I'll check it out. And I did it, and I was honestly doing my old bits. Because like, I'm like, this is going to kill. I know it's going to kill. And like all the kids were like, oh, I want to do stand-up for the first time, you know? And but I'm like, I'm a veteran. Mm-hmm. Like, I come from Florida. Of course. I was in improv. You know, I had this hot head that I'm the shit.
Yeah.
And I'm going to kill. And then there was this dude, though, called Matthew Sims. And that dude is one of the most talented dudes I ever seen. He's like 29, maybe 30 years old. But, like, he's super mega talented in the sense, like, he can sing, but, like, extremely good. And I didn't even know that. He writes super, super good. Like music and comedy.
Damn.
And he's a great performer. The only thing, he doesn't like performing comedy. He likes writing it for people.
Yeah.
So when we did that show, he killed, I killed. And afterwards I said, yo, I'm leaving the school, but we should totally like get together and like form like a writing thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, for sure. And I left the school because I wasn't going to finish. And he stayed, you know, and finished. And after a whole year, that's when he finished school and we finally got together. And we started writing sketches and we were doing all these bits that we were going to do on YouTube. Hilarious stuff, you know. And we had all these funny ideas. And then he booked the fucking cruise. And then after that, he booked another cruise after he came back from that cruise. Because he literally on a cruise for 6 months. He's now like fucking Russia, Turkey, some shit.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and then when he comes back, he's literally coming back to hop on another one.
Yeah.
So he's gone for, like, forever.
That's a nice lifestyle if you can handle it for a few years when you're right out of college.
I mean, I bet when he comes back, like, after all those cruises, dude, he must be killing.
Yeah.
Because he's, like, singing every day over there.
Oh, shoot. He's got some stories. Yeah. Well, it didn't ruin your life. It just put you on a different path.
Yeah.
So if a cruise line came up to you and said, "Steve, we want you to come do our cruise," you would say, "Fuck you, cruise lines suck."
Yeah, that's what I said. Fuck you, cruise ships suck. But he told me that there's this thing called on the fly artists that basically they go and fly me for a weekend and then they fly me back.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can do that. That's I don't like living on a boat. I don't know. It's not my thing. I get seasick.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, they say I never been on a cruise before. I've been on little boats that rock a lot.
Oh yeah.
And those suck. And but people tell me, oh, you know, cruises they don't rock that much. Only when you're steady or you're sleeping or whatever. That's the worst part. When I'm sleeping, really? Well, do I want to feel that when I'm
just
sleeping?
It rocks you to sleep. You know, like a little baby. I'm trying to make
little baby turns green, little baby turns purple, little baby pukes. Oh, sad baby, sad baby. I don't want to be that baby.
No? All right.
No.
Even if it pays well, all right.
Dude, no, I can't do it for 6 months.
Maybe you don't need a new pair
of
shoes.
Dude, when I'm in the middle of the ocean, I would either do this. When I'm in the middle of the ocean, I'll freak the fuck out. Like, after my third month, I'll be like, yeah. What the fuck? Ah! And I would jump out the ship and just start swimming, and then a ghost shark would eat me or something. Or a Sharknado would just come and take me away. What a terrible movie, Sharknado. Oh, my God.
I was just watching The Two-Headed Shark. And it had quite the star-studded cast. It had...
There's a movie called Two-Headed Shark?
Yes. A shark, sinks an island by thrashing around underneath it. This is the few chunks that I got. But Carmen Electra is one of the main cast. But
it already sucks.
She dies early on. She dies, middle to halfway through the movie.
Is she sexy on it?
No, it barely looks like Carmen Electra. It looks like some old porn star. Sorry, you could barely recognize her, but no. Then
he looks like Rosie Allen.
the star of the show was actually that Hogan chick,
Brooke Hogan.
Yes.
Brooke oh my Hogan. God, this is terrible.
Yes. Yes. She. Okay. The scene that I saw, she straps on a scuba gear, never gone scuba diving based on her character, and she jumps underwater to weld up the bottom side of a yacht that the two-headed sharks had demolished earlier in the movie, but I wasn't there to see it. So she welds up this boat, and Brooke Hogan welding a boat. I'm sorry, that's kind of absurd in its own level. So then the guy that was like on the boat waiting for her just takes off. It's like, peace out, man. Every man for himself, and leaves her like in the water. And it takes her like a split second to swim back to the beach and meet up with everyone else. You're like, what the hell? With the two-headed shark, obviously, because the two-headed shark went after the yacht instead of the chick in the water.
Oh, so the two-headed shark was a dumb shark?
Yeah.
Oh, and should then, we go left? No, we should go right.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, but it managed to sink the yacht, though. That's what's important. I don't know how the hell. So, Two-Headed Shark is also a great feature film to go watch if you're, following Shark Week.
This is a dumb fucking movie. Yeah. I don't know why people are so obsessed with sharks lately. Oh, my. I feel like I can write a movie about sharks and it's going to be on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I literally feel that because everything I see, Ghost Shark, Sharknado, Two-Headed Shark, Shark Week.
Yeah, well, it is. It's Shark Week. That's the thing. Everybody loves to be afraid, loves to be scared by sharks. So
why
did you see the
shark? And in such a fake way, like really people are thinking, oh yeah, a Sharknado could happen at any time.
A guy can jump into a shark with a chainsaw and come out alive.
Yeah, yes. And save the chick.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. That was
and drop bombs.
Yeah. And sharks are flying through the air thinking their thought is, what can I eat?
Mm-hmm. And they survive on the ground and they don't explain it.
Exactly. You know? Yes, a shark is trying to eat while still on the ground with no scent of blood, no nothing. Yeah. I love it. Why are we trying to explain Sharknado? There's no explanation. I mean, even the name cannot be explained.
It's just ridiculous. I don't know why it trended on Twitter. It must be everybody must be like, this movie's horrible. Let's tweet about it.
There is a big genre out there for terrible, scary movies. Like,
do they have Shark Con?
I wouldn't surprise me if
and
they
people
did.
Dress up. I'm the two-headed shark. I'm Ghost Shark. I'm the Sharknado.
I'm the blonde that gets eaten.
I'm Carmen Electra. Go back to Adult Con.
That's where you belong. Oh, classic.
Classic, man. We got bits for days.
Yeah. But,
how's Barbie Dreamhouse doing?
That's a lot of fun. It's my favorite improv show ever.
Ever?
Yeah.
For those that don't know, there's a show called Barbie Dreamhouse.
Yes, it's the improv show.
Improv show at IO West. Word. So people that are listening and they're in Hollywood, you should check it out on Wednesdays, right?
It's random, but random. Check out, keep an eye out on us for Facebook.
Yeah. You got a Facebook page for that?
I need to make one still. You can look up my Facebook page at Kenneth Andrews. And
it's usually at what time?
It's late. It's late at night. So we like to have all the freaks come out and play and help us put on a good show.
What time?
It's usually like around 11.
11? All right. So people go by IOS on Wednesdays. at 11 p.m. and hope that there's Barbie Dreamhouse that night.
Yeah.
Because it might not be.
Yeah. Well, you can check out the iOS website, too. The shows are always scheduled there, too.
Mm. But it's not scheduled once every third month? Or it's just random?
Yeah. Oh, it's always random. Because we're still brand new. We're like a new team. So we pick up the random spots that the other big wigs don't want. So because like the teams that have been around for years, they all get their weekly spot. You're
an IO graduate, right?
Yep. Alumni.
Alumni.
The one improv school you have not gone to.
Yeah, I know. That's the only school. But I perform like crazy at IO, though.
Yeah, they love performers. They love people getting up and playing. So they give you as much opportunity to play as possible. That's what
I
love about it.
Dude, I already recognize like almost every show. Like, I literally been in almost every show at IO. I'm always there. I'm always at the loft. I'm always at DCT. Sometimes at the main stage, but mainly like DCT and loft.
Yeah.
But I'm there a lot.
Oh, yeah. It's a fun place. It's my home. It's like... it's like my second home, I guess. First home. My apartment's probably my second home.
I like IO. I like the feel of IO because I feel it's like more like a lab in the sense of like you can experiment stuff.
Oh yeah,
and it always turns out great, you know.
Yes,
that's why I really like performing there at IO, that little spot, especially like at the loft. You know, that little spot.
Yeah, I don't really like that room as much, just because it's the head clearance. Like, because on the left side of the stage where it's got that, like, duct or, like, that ledge or whatever, the support beam, yeah, I have to duck. I can't be on the...
I once ran into that little back that they got there, and I hit my leg in the middle of the scene. And I was still in the scene. I was just, like, looking for something, apparently.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ah!
Yeah, it's a cozy space. Yeah. It's great for doing, like, podcasts and stuff if you want to get, like, an audience. Because like just a few people will make it sound really big. Just a little note for you.
Maybe. We'll see. I'll talk to some people, see if I can host my own show there. Be like, yo, can I have the Steve Diss Allen podcast there?
That's right. Shane was actually talking to me about doing something like that. Like
about doing a podcast there? Yeah, because I motivated him.
Oh, he was the one that was like, oh, okay, so that's where it came from.
Yeah, it came from me because I invited him to the podcast. And we were talking, you know, for an hour and 30 minutes. And I was like constantly telling him, yeah, you should do your podcast. And motivating him. And he's like, yeah. You know, he was like, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like... Let's do it. I cannot do a Shane impression. I can't. I tried. I can't do
it. Shane is a unique character.
He's a unique character.
His own man.
His own man. You know, you know who can do a Shane impression? Jack Black.
Jack Black can. Yeah. Yeah, he does. He does a very good one. He can do anybody, though.
Anybody?
Yeah. I would do him.
You would do him?
Oh, yeah, Jack
Black. I wouldn't do him.
No. He's kind of a weird-looking troll character.
He's gross.
Yeah.
He's just gross.
Yeah.
Just imagine his thighs sweaty. You see? See? Yeah. That's gross.
I was trying to drink some water, and you're making me gag thinking about Jack Black's sweaty thighs.
See? He made you gag.
Yeah. Okay, so I wouldn't do Jack Black. All right. I've admitted this.
There you go. Probably. Bits for days, people. Bits for days. That's the topic of today. Snap your fingers. Snap your fingers.
Yeah, let it flow. Let the beat ride, man. Let the beat ride.
So tell me about this new gig. You finally quit your old job. What was your old job?
Old job was quality assurance and process innovation.
You have the fucking weirdest jobs known to man.
I like to keep it random. I like to shake it up. Oh, it was
like that Disney show?
Exactly. Something like that, yeah. It was
bringing it to the kids. They're bringing it to the kids.
Oh, yeah. We're fun for the family. No, I like, it was, let's see, let me try to explain the job. I did a little bit of everything. It was one of those jobs where you kind of keep track of stuff at, like, it was for a rotating equipment company called Dresser Rand, and they make, like, steam turbines and gas turbines and big piston engines and stuff, like just huge stuff for oil refineries and power plants. Anyways, but my job was to kind of, If we screwed up or if we didn't fix the equipment right, I had to go figure out why and then figure out how to not do it again.
That was your job?
Yeah. So it
you're basically like the lackey.
Yeah. I was the bitch work.
and then hey, like, PA.
Yeah, exactly. And then if something wasn't, like, if we needed a new form created or something, if a business process wasn't flowing right, they'd send me to go look at it and I'd have to check it out and be like, okay, what's going on and why isn't this working? And then figure out how to make it better and make it work right. Except the problem is nobody really wanted to do that because I was telling them how to change their jobs and nobody wants to be told how to change their job. So it's a fine line where, you know, you got to work with people and like kind of get them to inspire change in themselves. It's very difficult. Very, very difficult to do.
Customer service.
Yes. But luckily I had to quit that job. I was working part-time out here in LA and they wanted me to be full-time and I said, sorry, I can't. I've got a career. So that's why I moved out to LA and that's why we parted ways. And then I started working with my buddy Josh doing Time Warner. Commercial production. So
Mr. Logic. Tell everybody about Mr. Logic.
That was a fun one, really fun. Josh came to me with this idea. He's like, dude, I got this idea for character. I need help fleshing it out, creating it, you know, making it real. And I was like, all right. So he told me about Mr. Logic. It's this guy that points out illogical situations versus logical situations. But, you know, the illogical is supposed to be absurd. So, you know, like waiting for a vending machine during the zombie apocalypse. Yeah, that's not logical. You know, we're working on some other ones. Trying to do something relating to coffee.
You're going to do a whole series of commercials?
Yeah, yeah. It's like we did two already, and then they're doing a campaign. Like, I got to go back. We're doing some still photos.
Dude, if you come with a little Cuban character or a little, you know, Mexican crawling the border character, sending tacos for cars, or I don't know, something, tell me. Because I honestly, like, one of my dreams is to have, like, a series of commercials that I'm a character or something.
Nice.
Like, that would be awesome, you know? Word.
Well, shoot, I'll keep that in mind. We always got random stuff coming up. We work with a lot of car dealerships and stuff, so they want, like, bilingual. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, you came and did the North Hollywood Toyota.
Hell yes, you rolling. Somebody texted me this morning was like, I just saw you on fucking TV. Yeah, I'm like, awesome. What? North Hollywood Toyota commercial. Yeah. I'm like, hell yeah.
You won the big deal. Because you is the big deal. Yeah. That was a fun one. But yeah, they want to do that in bilingual.
I think my Oscar line was like, oh my goodness, thank you.
Yes.
That was Oscar win.
It brought a tear to my heart every time. I swear. I
got it on repeat.
I connected.
I can't go to sleep unless I hear that tune. Yes. You know? Because I need to dream about it, so I have to put it in my head before I go to bed, and then I dream about it, and then when I wake up, that's my alarm.
It just gets you going in the morning.
Pretty much.
Yeah. We're doing some Parkway Motors commercials as well. Just had a meeting. There's a character called PP. It's the Parkway Penguin.
I saw the graphic. Diego.
Yeah,
Diego. You know Diego?
Oh yeah,
the post production man from San Diego.
He did. Yeah, he did all the posts on both the Rockin' Proposal and the Zombie Machine. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
It was dope.
He makes it
how many
crazy.
People did you cast for the zombies?
Let's see. I think we had like 10 people show up.
Mm.
Yeah, some good friends and family. I make sure that project we make sure to just get everybody involved that wanted to be a zombie. Like people, like there was people I asked who was like, maybe okay. I moved on. No, because like I knew that shoot, we needed everybody. 100%. I would love to be a zombie.
Do you get people just like that, like asking them, or do you go to like casting or things like that?
That one, I mostly went through friends. I got a buddy, Dave Retta. Terrible pronouncing his last name.
Kevin's on it too, right?
Yeah, Kevin. Kevin's on it. He's the main hero that is waiting for the vending machine.
Mm-hmm.
But Dave is the main lead zombie. He's got the beard and everything. He's the first one I called. I was like, Dave, I need a herd of zombies, and you're the king. So I knew he was going to be the pivotal one. He brought in a whole bunch of friends. I brought a couple of friends that all, like I said, I need to pay you to be a zombie, and they were giddy as 5-year-olds. So that's why we cast everybody, and they were nice enough to stick around and be the rock crew. crowd. And the other concert, we had to shoot two commercials in one day. Mm. It's usually the way we go, just because, you know, we run and gun. We're efficient.
That's the way to do it, man. Yep. I used to, especially when I got started, the main things I started doing was music videos.
Yeah.
And, like, I was getting casted a lot in music videos. And, like, a lot of sets I went to, like, for example, I shot with the All American Rejects, and I shot with Dr. Dre and different types of people. And, like, they will shoot their videos in just in one day.
Yeah.
They were literally doing just one day.
Oh, yeah.
They were like, this video's done. Like, we're not going to think about this video.
Well, even those guys, they'll spend like $100,000, $200,000 in a day, you know, just on location and trailers and props and all the crew. Yeah, all that equipment. I mean, shoot, you burn
through money.
Dude,
there's a soundstage. Sketchy as hell when I went. But when I shot with the All American Rejects, it was like by Skid Row.
Yeah,
you know, and I was like, "What the hell?" Like, there's a soundstage here, and I went a huge soundstage, bro.
Yeah. Oh, they like to stick those in random spots everywhere. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, the best soundstage I've been is Universal Studios.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh shoot, Universal, of course.
But it's man, they have like the air on blast on them stuff.
They keep those things freezing.
Yeah, because like for example, when I did that NBC show, the Take It All. Like, I was, it was at that soundstage, Universal.
Nice.
And it was cold, dude. Yeah. Like, cold. I was asking everybody, can you give me a jacket or something? Like, I'm extremely cold.
Damn. Well, I was really glad that they kept those things cold when I was shooting. I think, was that Universal or Fox? I think that was Fox or something. I went and shot with the Great and Powerful Oz for 2 days.
Mm.
I'm like a pickup shot. I'm not in anything recognizable, but it gave me my two last vouchers I needed to be SAG eligible. So that's, I like to say the Great Oz gave me my pass to be an actor or something.
Mm.
My golden ticket, even though I know I'm mixing up metaphors.
So you went to see The Wizard.
Yeah, I went to see The Wizard, and they gave me my golden ticket to be an actor. So
wait, now you're missing The Wizard of Oz and Willy Wonka.
Yes, I do recognize that. But I got to be a Winky for one day. We went in for one day beforehand.
What's a Winky?
It was the evil queen's private guard. The most badass, scary dudes in all of Oz, which they aren't at all. They're just really ugly and big. I did the scene at the very end when like he's confronting the wizard, and he's like the first time he pulls out the big green ghost wizard contraption thing out of his trailer at the end. I was in. They tried to do a pickup shot because they did it both with CG, and then they wanted to go back and do a live action where it's all the armed guards running with their spears at the wizard's goat, like green head thing. And then throwing their spears. And then I was, that was pretty much the only shot I was in, was like that wide shot where it looks like a football field. And I was the very last soldier on the, if you're looking at the screen, the back right. So I was the very last soldier to throw his spear.
Did you point it out in the movie theater?
No. I didn't waste my money to go see it.
You're like, that's me. That's me, people. You talk to the guy in the projection, and you say, pause it right there.
Well, I think
and you're like, right there is me. Circle, and you circle it like ESPN play-by-play. That's me right there. This is Jimmy. This is Ralphie. He gave me a sandwich. He's a cool dude. I don't know his name, but he's a cool dude.
Yeah, he was cool. But that was a fun one because they put us all in makeup and shit. It was, it was crazy. I did see it, and I think I was actually blocked out by one of the CG puffs of smoke, like right when. So I think they used the computer generated shot and didn't even use the live action shot, where it's just they covered it up with smoke, and so you can't even tell. Yeah, but I got to wear Winky makeup and everything.
And you got your golden ticket at the end
of the
day.
That's right.
That's right.
It would have been fun to take pictures, but they were strict about
pictures. Yeah, man.
No
especially
pictures.
Those productions. Yeah.
They throw your ass out and you will never work in this town again.
Yeah. There's some sets that I've been like, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to take a picture.
Yeah.
But there's sets that when I know it's like something big like that, I'm like, nah, I'm not even going to risk it, man. This is a huge deal.
Yeah, there's a team of lawyers that will come and ruin your life if you do that.
Dude, I was in this. I shot this MTV show that's coming now in September. Now in September, so it was coming out.
Yeah.
This what? Watch MTV, a show called The Hookup. I'm gonna be on it. It's a really fun show, guys. I really have fun, and I like the set. The set is amazing, man. Like, it's unbelievable what technology does.
Well, The Hookup, I mean, you're Rico Suave, so all the ladies,
Rico
they love
Suave.
It. Yeah. How hard is it for you to hook up? Like. Yeah, that's what I thought. Exactly. Nothing.
Super hard, man.
You sigh and you have a line of women. I know.
I just speak Spanish.
What's that knock on the door?
That's my plumber.
Right. Someone's going to service your pipe.
I know. I want the ghost shark to eat him. Call back.
Oh.
Bits for days, people.
Bringing it back around.
Bringing it back around like SpongeBob SquarePants. Dude, I'm so glad that Netflix has, like, cartoons.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, I need to watch some Dexter. I watched the shit, and, like, they got it.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about Dexter on HBO, but no, you mean Dexter.
No, I mean Dexter Laboratory.
Dexter's Laboratory. That's a good show. I like that one. Powerpuff Girls were good when I was first started smoking weed.
They got it there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I
never smoked weed and watched cartoons.
What?
No, I never done that.
That's how I enjoyed my cartoons. Dragon Ball Z? Oh my gosh. That cartoon.
Oh my god. Dragon Ball Z is my shit.
Yeah. Okay. So you've never watched it stoned?
No.
Oh my god.
I was a kid when I watched that.
That is so much cooler. I was in college when I first started watching Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, I was probably like 7 years old when I first started watching
Dragon
Ball Z.
Okay, well, no wonder. You have a 7-year-old ADD, so yeah, that was awesome.
Imagine a 7-year-old smoking weed. I bet there's a 7-year-old right now smoking weed somewhere in the world.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Yeah, with his parents.
Yeah.
Passing it around, being like, Dad, come on, pass it. Don't be a bitch. Oh, you're going to cough?
What? Well, if there's a family like that smoking, he's probably got his own SpongeBob pipe. He's not waiting for Dad to pass.
Probably, and says, "I'm ready." Yeah. Every time you pack it. Weed jokes.
Yeah, it's just
weed
beginning.
Weed jokes. So
I do appreciate you serving me up some salty nuts.
I knew you were a big fan of salty nuts.
Yeah.
That's why I gave it to you. I mean, you play volleyball, of course you
exactly.
love salty nuts.
Exactly.
Every time someone's mentioned volleyball, I think of Along Came Polly.
Uh-huh.
It's a basketball scene, but I associate it with volleyball that he gets all that sweat right in his mouth and he like licks it with his tongue.
That's
so
gross.
By far that's the grossest scene like I've seen in a comedy.
I think that's making me gag worse than Jack Black's sweaty thighs.
See? There you go, people.
Why are you so good at bringing up the disgusting? Oh.
I don't know, man. It's flappers. Flappers changed me. Flappers changed me last night, people.
Flappers.
You guys love when I do that stuff, so I keep bringing it around town.
Oh, yeah. Those flappers do it to you. Oh, those... dangly dresses and all that hip dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Woo woo.
Yo, you got to talk to the people about your back problems because there's people that can connect with that, you know?
Yeah.
There's people out there with back problems. There's people out there that say, why do I wake up every day with a back problem?
I hear you.
And you know the cure for this.
I'm working on curing it.
You're working?
It's a lifelong process. It's a lifestyle, actually. Yeah, because growing up, I was tall, so I always slouched. I have to slouch to do anything, to wash my hands, to, you know, open a door, to, you know, do anything. Literally, I'm slouching. So I've just had to work really hard on changing my posture. My chiropractor's helped a lot with that. She's been a doll. So, like, I've had one back surgery already on a herniated disc. That was a few years ago, and that's when I was first trying to decide whether I was not going to chase my dreams, you know, to be an actor. I was like, I had a friend finally just try to.
You wore a back brace?
No, I didn't. Like, I never tried wearing braces after surgeries, just because I always tried to recover my body a lot faster. Because if you wear braces, it takes your body longer to recover. Sometimes you have to. Like, when I tore my Achilles tendon, I wore like a boot for like 8 weeks. And
you tore your Achilles on what?
Yeah, playing Ultimate Frisbee. Yeah.
What?
I stepped into a hole. And
that's the gayest way you can.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can tear down your Achilles. Like Kobe Bryant can say, yo, it was at a game, man. We were down.
Yeah.
I had to do what I had to do.
Yeah.
You were like, I was just playing Frisbee.
Yeah.
With a couple of my girlfriends.
Exactly.
Well, when the sun was going down.
Yeah, I shouldn't admit, but it was a girl that was guarding me. And as soon as she was standing behind me, and I thought she like kicked my leg or something. But no, but when I pulled up my pant leg, there was this big dent in the back of my ankle. So that's when I could tell there was something wrong. I was hoping there wouldn't, but yeah, I couldn't walk on it. Like, I would fall over if I put any weight on it. So
yeah. That sucks,
that
dude.
That happened like 6 months after my back surgery. So that was an interesting year of recovery. But yeah, but actually that gave me time. When I did that, I was actually gave me time to go to the gym and really get in good shape and really do some physical therapy for the whole body. So that's when I lost like 20 pounds after surgery. So
I think that's why I gave sports 3 tries.
Mm-hmm.
The first try, I broke my left arm.
Damn.
The bone, literally like. One piece was all the way to the left, and one piece was all the way to the right, like in the X-ray. I broke my right ankle on basketball.
Damn!
Like I rolled it, and I broke ligaments and different stuff. Yeah, ooh. And I tore down my left shoulder surfing.
Damn! The basketball one I kind of understand, but how did you break your arm? Because you did track and field, right?
My arm in karate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, that definitely break your arm.
Yeah, I was doing Aikido.
Oh, okay.
And this fat dude was fucking stupid and broke my arm, basically.
Yeah, or you let him sit on it, didn't you?
No, he fucking pushed me, man.
What? Oh.
He pushed me and landed with my arm, like, right in my back.
Oh.
And I heard just crack, and people were saying, like, move your arm. I was just crying. Yeah. And I'm like, I can't move it.
Oh.
Like, I can't move it.
Yeah, that sucks.
And then the mother of the kid came and said, I'll pay for everything.
Well, thank God.
And my mom was like, no, it's okay.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah. Your mom's generous.
Yeah, she is, man.
Word. Yeah, actually, I did see one guy break his arm doing track and field when he did the long jump. He landed. Yeah, I was in junior high. It was the first time I've ever seen anybody break their arm. Oh, it was creepy. He landed and then fell backwards, and like his left arm snapped in half. Like, yeah, how do you break your arm just landing on it? But I guess you landed on it, so that's how you break it.
Yeah, that's how you break it, man. It's possible,
yeah.
Especially if you're. Back in the day, I was more skinny than what I am today.
What?
Like I was like super skinny,
holy
like
shit.
Hyper skinny.
Damn.
And so I was pretty brittle.
Uh huh.
You know.
I understand. Yeah.
Like you can blow me and I fall.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's what I told the girl.
But you do a lot of other things when you get blown.
You know it.
Oh,
blowjob jokes.
We're keeping it classy.
We're keeping it classy. You know, yes. I'm keeping you in touch, people. That's why I gotta make it a category every time the jokes is said, because I know a lot of you are not clever enough to get the bit real quick. So I'm putting you up to speed real quick.
That's right.
By naming the game.
Yes.
Like UCB style.
Reiterate things for people. They like that.
They love it. They love it, dude.
Yeah.
So what's going on relationship-wise, man?
Oh.
That topic. Ooh, you thought I wasn't going to talk. Steve, this island,
no.
Man, it's my island. Here we talk about whatever.
I thought you keep it cool, relaxed island style. You don't get into the drama, the deep.
We
the
get
deep,
into
dark
everything,
secrets.
Man. This is like a reality show.
Yeah.
We go up, we go down, we laugh, we cry, we beat people up.
Damn.
We jack off to James Franco Rose.
That was juicy. My girlfriend, recent girlfriend. We dated for a long time. She's like my best friend for a year. And then we kind of got to the point where like, well, we don't want to date anybody else, so why don't we just date each other? So it was still a rough transition, but only very, very recently have we really like settled things and made it a very pleasant thing. To be very vague and completely uncommitted about anything that I just told you. But we committed to each other. That's important.
That's cool. There's,
yes. You don't tell me you're going to turn up some heartbreaking country music.
I was. I was for a second. I'm like, I'm going to make it super dramatic.
I wrapped up that heartfelt moment before you could ruin it.
I know. And when you said best friend, I wanted to pull up the song that says, because you're my best friend.
Oh,
that
awesome.
Queen song or whatever.
Yes. Oh, classic. But yeah,
see, that would have been perfect for the podcast. You ruined it. You ruined my moment.
Oh, dang it. So anyways, I've been dating this girl for a few months now, and she's been like my best friend, like my soulmate is really where I'm connecting. And I could really use some good background music to really warm up this moment, to make me feel special, because you know there's a special lady out there for everybody, and you just need to go really find her. Just connect with your best friend, and you'll be happy. It's really cliche. It's very cliche, but your best friend's the one you want to spend the rest of your life with.
Here you go.
Exactly. So this is bringing the warmth, the connection.
So she's your best friend.
Yeah.
How can you take it serious without music?
Okay. Yeah. Yes. She's my best friend. So seriously, I want to spend all of my time with her just because we hang out and we BS together. And it's what really makes it a special relationship is getting past the fights, you know, or the disagreements. You know?
You guys fight for big stuff or fight for like little, extremely stupid stuff?
It's mostly been about our relationship because it was a struggle up to now to where we're both kind of conflicted about wanting to be in a relationship because of our careers and thinking, can we? But we spend, you know, all of our free time together, so it's just kind of fell into place. But we were having a hard time connecting, like really letting go and like being in a relationship. And so there's like those kind of arguments to where it's just like, what the heck's going on? What are we doing here? But then we've got real with each other, and that's what's important. That's what, you know, made me realize, you know, it's something special because we always communicated past it. You know, we give each other space to calm down and collect ourselves, but we always talk it out and we connect and we really understand each other.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
That's cool. Sounds like you want to get married with this girl.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Back that up.
Back that up.
She's not even one like that would fucking make her run like hell. So I'm not interested in that either. That's what makes us so good together. That's just
so yeah. No marriage for you.
Yeah.
No marriage for Ken.
Yeah. Non-committal commitment is the best way to put it.
What about if you meet the ultimate girl of your dreams and she's like, if you don't put no ring in this finger...
Yeah, well, I've never met that girl. I've had girls pull that shit on me. I just chunk them the deuce. I don't want to put up with that crazy shit. Hell no.
Girls be like, I got your baby.
Ultimatums do not work, ever. Don't ever try to get knocked up. Don't ever try to, you know, pull, like, well, don't try to negotiate or bargain. Because that's just not a good relationship. That's not healthy.
That is not healthy at all.
Communicate. That's all you got to do. That makes it special.
It's like eating that pretzel burger from Wendy's, the new one.
Oh, snap.
Like, that is not healthy.
No, not. But isn't that, aren't those like the fun relationships, the ones that are just terrible for you? All the passion and the fury and all the fighting and makeup sex and like hate sex and then
fuck
just
that shit.
Crazy random sex.
I wish, I mean, yeah, sex is great, but... I just feel the women would just don't bitch about stupid shit.
Yeah.
Like,
well, that's just the games. They want to play a game.
Yeah, like if I say I love grapes, don't get upset because of that, you know? Like, yeah. I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
Like, you know, my girl tells me all the time whatever, like something like, "Oh, what do you thought when we were at this point of the relationship? You know, like, oh, the first couple months. Oh, this and that. And I'm like, oh, I thought this and that. And she's like, what? What? And there's a huge fight because of that. I'm like, does that even matter now? Like, we're at this stage.
Exactly.
You know?
Why is this a problem? You asked.
You know. And then there's a huge fight. Turn for six hours. Yeah. You know, well, and I'm just trying to go to sleep.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, I think it's sometimes the ladies like the fight. The spice of the argument is what drives them crazy sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I don't blame them. You know, a good, heated, healthy argument can be fun. But, you know, people, like, when you get into, like, the personal stuff where it's just, like, really get big and digging in, like, the personal, like, details that you know about that person that you shouldn't bring up, but you do just because you're so pissed off. Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's that's the reason they invented soap operas, you know?
True. Yeah. Oh, should I move in a little bit closer?
Closer. Yeah.
Let's get intimate, ladies and gentlemen. Or should I just say ladies, because all the gentlemen have tuned out by now, because this is too hot for them.
Too hot.
Yes.
Backstreets. What do you feel about the Backstreet Boys coming back?
Oh, shit. I don't feel like I didn't pay attention back then.
You got to know at least one of their songs. Come on.
Well, because the fraternity I pledged at my first year of college, we during like this whole fraternity, like that whole fraternity games kind of thing, they do. They have this competition of making up like a pretty much lip syncing to a pop song. So we make I think we just lip synced it. We rewrote words. So it was a parody of Bye Bye Bye. Is that NSYNC or Backstreet Boys?
Bye, 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 bye. I think that's NSYNC. Okay. I don't know.
Well, that's how up to date I am on my boy bands. So, yeah, we did that.
Hey, One Direction.
That's right. What is that?
A direction? That's a boy band.
Oh, okay. I thought that was familiar, but yes.
Boy bands are popular, man. Even to this day, they work.
They still are. Yeah. Well, I think they're making it. They are making a comeback because the style went away, and then you know it comes in cycles. Yeah, first there's the Beatles, then
and there's the Justin Biebers.
Yeah, they're just the Biebers. So then you know they break away in a solo artist, and then they come up with the new fresh group.
Yeah.
After Justin Timberlake goes and starts doing movies.
There's this other band called The Wanted.
Oh yeah, I think I know that. I like them.
You like them?
Yeah.
I don't like them.
You don't like them?
I mean, maybe their music is great. I never heard it. But I work with them because I was working at the MTV VMAs, and they're assholes. Well, like, they're legit assholes.
Well, that's why you don't like them, of course.
You know, and it's always the people that have, like, this amount of fame, like, little amount of fame that are the biggest assholes. Because the people that are really famous, they're the most nicest people in the world.
Because they don't have a chip on their shoulder anymore. They're like, yeah, I've been there, done that. The people who are just a little bit famous, they still feel insecure. They still got something to prove. So,
like, fuck you.
Fucking A. So, but I like just being a badass to where you don't have to worry about it. You know what I'm talking about.
What was the weirdest job you've been an extra on?
Oh, weirdest. I would have to say probably Great and Powerful Oz was a fun one. I got to do stand-in work on the show How to Live with Your Parents for the Rest of Your Life for Brad Garrett.
Mm.
Yeah, I was a sub stand-in because I was tall. But the normal guy was actually like only like... He was like 2 or 3 inches shorter than me, and I'm like the same height as Brad Garrett. Actually, I think I'm like an inch shorter than him.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I wish they would have kept me on more. But I'll admit the last time I showed up late was my fault. But I think they stopped calling me because I was showing up late. But like the first 2 or 3 times, I swear to God, it was the casting company. They would tell me like 10 o'clock and I'd show up and they're like, you're supposed to be on set 5 minutes ago. I was like, oh shit. So like 2 or 3 times I was literally hauling ass to the set because I was given the wrong call times. But That was a fun show to shoot on. It was good because I got to see up close like everything that goes on, because you're pretty much taking the spot of the lead actor, so you get to see the whole script. You get to see everything going on that actor would see. Like that's fun because my favorite thing about extra work was learning all the way a set runs. Watching, because I watch the crew, I watch the director, AD, all the producers. I watch how everybody interacts. I listen to the dialogue, pick up, you know, what does this phrase mean? What does that mean? You know, when they need to change lighting and stuff like that. And you just pick up on the little details of, you know, they really appreciate it when you worry about continuity. Like if you're standing a certain way, or if a certain prop was in a certain position, and you kind of like you remind someone about it, they really appreciate that. So like I got a few compliments on that end of it, but I guess they just didn't appreciate my tardiness, which I don't blame them. You shouldn't. You shouldn't wait on people.
Totally.
Especially when it's costing you $50,000 an hour or something, or a day, whatever those things cost.
It's crazy.
I don't know yet. I haven't made mine yet. So
soon enough.
Yeah, soon. Working on a short, series called Guys, Guys. Is
that the one that you guys wanted me to audition for?
Yeah, we want to bring you in. Jabbar, he's kind of the streetwise guy. I think Josh told you about him a little bit. But it's just a group of guys hanging out, trying to make it in L.A. It's
how many episodes have you guys written?
We're still working on the first season, trying to flesh it out. We had an idea for the pilot, but it was such a big idea. We're like, screw it, let's just make this idea the whole season. As far as like these guys eventually come together and make their own sports show, because. They've developed, find that you know, they're not satisfied with the sports shows that are out there now. They're just kind of turned into gossipy TMZ type shows instead of actually reporting on sports, what guys want to talk about, what guys want to hear about. And so they break away and they make their own web version of a sports show. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like wraps up season one. But it's a story of these guys, kind of, you know, my character's a bartender / just dumb stud, kind of just...
Like Shane in Rock Gages.
Exactly. Well, I'm a little bit more studly than that, but...
I mean, he was with Alec Baldwin. Baldwin is a pretty good stud.
True, but he looked like shit in the movie. I'm sorry. Alec Baldwin is a handsome man, I'll admit. But he was. They made him look like a washed-up rocker in that movie.
They wanted to make him like Mitch Hedberg if he would have still been alive.
Exactly. Yeah. So they did a great job on his makeup. But yeah. So it's a fun story. It's gonna be good. J-Bar's character is kind of a streetwise drug dealer. I think he's trying to be a rapper as well. So going with all the stereotypical black guy parts.
Stereotypical. But,
yes.
Don't we love those?
Yes. Well, actually, you're a pot dealer. That's just like, I don't think...
You need to have an Indian. You know, Indians are hot right now.
True.
Every series has an Indian.
True.
Newsroom, maybe we should Parks and Rec.
Yeah. We should bring in an Indian chick because we're going for... There's a hot chick. Exactly.
Mindy Kaling. Yeah. She was in The Office. The Mindy Kaling Project.
I heard that show's not very good. I haven't watched it, though.
I'm not going to say that. They had, you know, that in some planes, they put, like, bits of shows.
Uh-huh.
I was on my way back to L.A. from Florida. They put bits of that show, and I'm like, this show is not funny.
No.
Like, I don't get why the show is still on the air, but I don't find it funny.
No. I understand. Yeah.
But then again, I'm a person that... I don't find 30 Rock funny, and really? A lot of people do find 30 Rock funny.
I enjoyed 30.
Same as Friends.
Parts of 30 Rock. Yeah, I mean, I can't sit down and be like, I love the entire series. No, I sit down, I'm like, okay, that episode was funny, or this joke was hilarious. But when they said, but I like, I never got like invested in the whole series. Mm. So no,
I just can't believe I cannot get in. The idea of like a group of white people get together and like just throw jokes, you know, I'm like, this is impossible. I cannot suspend my disbelief.
Yes. No, this isn't realistic.
It's not real. Like Friends is not real.
No.
Like, oh my God. Finally, I went to a dentist today, right? To my cleaning.
Finally.
Finally. Oh, yeah, finally. They got me on a four-month plan. I'm going to call bullshit on that.
4 months?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
That's bullshit. Like, they're supposed to make it six months.
6 months. I'm on the
They just want to take all my money away.
Yeah, they do. I'm on the six-year plan so far. I just try to floss and brush regularly.
Hey, if you're Mr. Logic.
That's right. Yeah.
You need to get them teeth clean.
I know. Got to get the grill polished. They want to do. They want to do.
I'm booking. Noho Toyota.
That's right. Yeah, you're booking like lots of stuff. I gotta take your advice. My teeth are not white enough. Best excuse I'm going with.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Your teeth black.
Well, they're not yellow and hanging out. But they're not like sparkling diamond.
They're white. Dentures. Just admit it.
They're dentures. Yes.
Basically dentures. You just have gums.
Yes, I did a lot of meth. Growing up, and I decided, you know, to cover up my past.
Did you actually meth, or you just inhale, or like you just had it in your system?
Or
you actually cooked it?
I like to cook and then snort it, but recently injecting.
Okay. Yeah.
I do it in between my toes and eyeballs so that people can't see.
Nice.
Yes. I'm very good at hiding my addictions.
I'm pretty good at hiding my sluts.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Well, I can smell. It's a very potent smell here, but I just cannot find any sluts.
Yeah, they're between the bed and the bed frame.
Whoa.
That's why I keep them. They're Asian.
Ah.
So they...
They fold up nicely into a little
they
pocket.
They fold up, yeah. They're comfortable. I once opened a Happy Meal, and boom, three came out.
Wow.
They're contortionists.
Yeah. So is that how they are immigrating these days?
Asians
and Happy Meals?
Pretty much. A lady made a bit yesterday about smuggling. Shouldn't even be saying this. It's her bit, but she was saying she was going to smuggle Mexicans because she's this person that her bit is like she's so single and she's like on her 40s that she's trying to date whatever.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm going to go to Mexico and smuggle a Mexican in my twat.
Oh, damn.
And she made this, like, she half-assed it. Like, if she would have gone, like, all the way, like, it would have been really, really funny. But she half-assed, like, the mimic of it, like, smuggling one.
See, that's when you lose the audience. Because if you commit and you go,
yeah, but she was like, I don't know if I should be doing this joke here, you know, kind of.
Yeah, that's when it's an unfunny, dirty joke.
Yeah,
dirty jokes.
I'm like,
are
if you're going for it, just go for it, dude.
Yeah, that's one thing I learned doing improv. Don't hold back, because nobody likes it. Nobody likes a timid artist.
No, but nobody likes like an unappealing artist either.
True.
Because, like, for example, in my improv,
do
I'm
smart.
Putting everybody on blast today, people, but I don't give a fuck. It's my podcast. But, like, there's a girl on my improv team, right? Her name is Denise. And, like, lately, like, the last couple of improv shows, she's been extremely sexual, like, trying to get on people, sucking people's dick, like, you know, going, like, bro. Like, this, I remember this show. We had a show at the Green Room. It's, like, in... I don't know, Sunset in Hollywood, somewhere over there. I don't know. And it's called the Improv Theater. And it's called the Green Room, the place. Mm-hmm. And we were having a show there. And for no reason, like literally her character, her want, everything didn't demand for this to happen.
Yeah.
But she literally went to the other guy because there's only two guys in my team and three girls. So she went to the other guy because they were doing a scene together. And she went. She went on her knees and started sucking his dick. Like, she literally did that in, like, mid-scene.
Oh, mid-scene.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't, like, that's not her initiation. That was, like, a mid-scene. And, like, that guy's girlfriend was there, like, in the audience. And then afterwards, he's like, she started sucking my dick.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's gets you in trouble.
I know. And last show, my girlfriend went.
Well, you can't see. I hope. Does your girlfriend understand the art of improv?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
She does improv too.
Nice.
I mean, she doesn't do it like in Second City and things like that. But she does it like because she's still in college and she has like improv classes.
Okay.
So she does it for fun, you know, with classmates. Yeah. But it's not like something she wants to do.
Okay. So if a girl comes up and is improvising sucking your dick, not actually pulling your penis out and then putting it in her mouth, then she's okay with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But the just the fact that it doesn't, you know, there's no motive for it.
Yeah, that's, yeah. That's
yeah, because, for example, if I start a scene, it's all based off the initiation, or yeah. maybe I did an opening and I got something from there. So I'm doing it off of something, yes. you know? And when I do a scene, I'm doing it off of something.
Yes.
If I go get a glass of water, it's not because I want it to be funny and have a glass of water in my hand, you know?
Exactly. You got to feed the scene.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. But
like last night in my improv show, I was sucking my girlfriend's dick on stage. Because we were two poets shooting heroin and sucking each other's dicks. That we established that earlier in the show.
Yeah.
So it wasn't out of nowhere.
Yeah, but it's not like, hey, Timmy, you had a fun day of school.
Yeah. Cup the balls.
It's like, what's the point to that?
You'd usually lose your partner, your scene partner in that pretty quick.
Edit.
Yes. someone please come and save us.
I'm gonna start doing, if I'm not in the scene, I'm just gonna come in, bust the door, be a cop, and be like, ma'am, you're arrested.
Yes.
That's what I'm gonna do every time that happens.
Morality police.
Morality police. And it happens, was weird, it happens all the time. I just noticed that other people's girlfriends are there. Because when his girlfriend was there, she was sucking his dick, and when my girlfriend was there, she was humping me on stage.
Wow. I think maybe she picks up on what other chicks pick up on, is like the whole, when you're in a relationship is when other chicks want you.
And she's the only one single on the team.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So
everybody's either married or taken.
Yeah. So that, yeah, there it is. So she's overcompensating for her singularity.
I think she's going to move to chicks now.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. That's beware, Nikki and Ryza. You're going
to
get it.
To watch.
You're gonna get the queen bee.
Uh-oh.
You know, that was so funny. In my improv practice, this dude, because she's like, she formed the team and stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. She's like the head. And she could
likes
be
the head.
She likes the head, and she's the head. But she could be moody sometimes. In the sense of like, people are not confirming me for shows. Like, she goes crazy.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, from now on, I'm going to call her. He told me first, I'm going to call her Queen Bee. I just busted out laughing because the first thing I think is Queen Bitch, yeah. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
But he didn't mean it that way at all. He's this like, white dude that he's means no harm.
He doesn't know what the word bitch means.
Probably not. So he's just thinking Queen Bee, and I'm just hysterically laughing. And he's laughing because he thinks Queen Bee is a funny joke.
Yeah.
But it's Queen Bitch. So he tells her, and she gets mad. She gets so pissed off.
Deservedly, yes.
Yeah. You call me a bitch.
Yeah, you don't ever call a woman a bitch to her face.
Especially a real one.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You know, it's all love, baby. Mm-hmm, if you're listening to the podcast, I doubt you're listening to the podcast.
Steven loves all the ladies. Make sure to get moist and wet when you're coming to get to Steve's house.
You know what?
What?
Because if you're not, you're going to be hot as fuck. And in California, dude,
mm-hmm.
bringing it back yeah. to the weather. Bringing it back to the weather.
So when you did, like your game shows and stuff, did they, like, make you talk shit about other people on camera?
Not necessarily, but yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's why they liked me, because I would do their sessions, I would do it quick, because I know what they want, you know?
Yeah.
They want me to talk a little bit of shit, but I'm not a person. I'm not particularly a person that talks shit.
Yeah,
I can talk fake shit.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Yeah, but I don't talk like, you know, real shit. I can be like, yeah, this person, I think he's up to something. You know,
yeah.
Like I can deliver those lines, but I cannot be this fucking bitch. I'm gonna kill him. No, I'm not that person.
No.
You know, but as soon they just want that. They just want that line. You know, like this guy is probably up to something. I shouldn't trust him.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
And I deliver that, and they're like, yeah, we look perfect, love it. Give that more, with a little bit more energy, perfect, you're wrapped, go.
Yeah, reality shows.
And then the other people will be like, because they're real people, they're not actors.
Yep.
And they're like, I don't know what to say. Well, that person's it's ugly. Oh, that's not good. Okay, let's do it. And they'll be with the other people like 30 minutes. They'll be like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
We're losing money, come on.
Yeah,
we need more actors.
They just want to crank it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. I did this reality hidden show where they like bring on like my middle of the road celebrities And they like they try to do some prank with the celebrity involved, but in like makeup. I'm guessing the one setup that we were in. I didn't know anything about it. I had this casting director call me. He's like, "Hey, we got this little. We're doing these auditions tomorrow. Come stop in if you want." I'm like, "Okay, cool." Supposed to be the boyfriend for Adrian Baez and like a reality show. I was like, "Okay, so it's some audition, whatever." I show up and he's like, "Okay, it's actually going to be like a little hidden TV show. We're just doing this little bit thing, blah blah blah." Anyways, and it's up there. They have this bitch like is a fake casting director, and Adrian Baez. I guess I don't really know her. I know her because she dated the Kardashian kid guy. That's how the only way I remembered her. But she's did some other like pop stuff, and so anyways, like she's dressed up in makeup as her assistant. I'm like, isn't that supposed to be her? Like, how do you know? And so the makeup was terrible, and they tried to do this whole bit where the casting director was a total cunt to everyone, especially Adrian, was just like belittling her like to an absurd, disgusting level, and just like calling like. Treating her like a dog, if at best, and then by the end, like they try to do this reveal to where she like Adrian like reveals that it's actually her, and we're all supposed to react, and we had to do it like two or three times, even though most of us were actors, because we're just like, this is bullshit. It was terrible, yeah, because none of us actually got a straight idea of what we're doing until like we're already in the middle of it. We're like, oh shit, this is what's going on, so. Yeah, it was interesting, but then like they made us do all these bits about like they literally, I'm quoting, they want the oh my god moments where the audience says oh my god, and so they're like they went back and fed us all these lines, and they're like you actually like her, you say she's cute, blah blah blah, you don't like her, you think her ass is fat, you don't like her, you don't like the way she sings, and you don't like Hispanic chicks. And like they just went down the line, and they made us do all that. And I was just like, "Wow, reality TV really sucks."
It does, man. Yes,
it's still scripted. What Bachelor, The Bachelor, or Bachelorette? That show has more writers than an actual sitcom. So it's like,
I auditioned for like a reality show once called like I'm a Sex Addict.
No, that's just my biography.
It was hilarious.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what network it was, but I know the audition was like in Glendale, some studios. And I'm sitting there, and they're asking me like, oh, is sex really your problem? I'm like, no, but it can be. Yeah. You're paying me. I'm like, yeah, I masturbate every day. Oh, I'm trying to make it as dramatic as possible.
I masturbate in public.
But they were like, yeah, we went a different direction. I'm like, I'm glad I didn't do that. I'm glad that wasn't in my universe.
You're not putting that on your reel.
Yeah, definitely not. There was a guy saying, like, they were showing me, like, a sizzle. And it was this guy saying, like, yeah, I love masturbating cows. Like,
what?
crazy shit. Yeah, I'm so glad. This is, like, this real life on crack.
Don't put yourself in that category.
Definitely not.
I did not see the strange, the sex addict one, but I've seen like the strange addictions show.
Oh, I've seen that too.
Those are freaky. Like the chick that eats cornstarch by the spoonful, and I saw the one chick that she crushes up mothballs and huffs them like glue all day long, and I'm just like, what? You're killing yourself slowly.
Yeah.
I mean, that's literally poison.
I honestly, when I saw that show, I'm like, I can't watch the show. Yeah, like, people are fucking stupid. Yeah. Like, it's just an insane show, man. Yeah. If you haven't seen Strange Addictions, I dare you to see it. Yes. I dare you.
Yes. I saw that there's one dude, he was addicted to pizza, and I thought I was addicted to pizza, but no, I swear, he will only eat pepperoni pizza every single meal of the day. I think he switches it up to, like, cheese or something, but... He's like, he used to have a promising career as an athlete and everything in high school, but like would just eat only pizza, to where now he's like malnourished and can barely even function anymore, because all he does is eat pizza. I was like, wow, I'm glad I keep my life varied.
Pizza, man.
I mean, I can eat pizza two, three times a day, not complain, but you know, after like 3 days, that's when I usually call it, I'll throw in the towel.
I bet once you eat that much pizza. Do you even make a call? Like, honestly, I think you just leave the money on the door.
Yeah.
And they just come and drop it.
A regular delivery, yeah.
Pretty much. One for Mr. Swanson.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Yeah, interesting show.
And interesting guest. So, Ken, do you want to plug something so people can follow you on Twitter or maybe Facebook or whatever you're promoting? Who are the Volkovs?
Yes, definitely look out for the Who Are the Volkovs. That's coming soon. That's a Shane Hartline is producing that. I'm going to help him out, a little AD that.
Are you going to Florida?
I'm going to try to see when the shooting is like. But otherwise, I'm just helping organize that, produce it. So look out for Guys coming soon. Don't have any website or any information on that one. Let's see.
Watch his demo reel on YouTube.
Don't watch that yet. No, look out.
Watch the last 20 seconds. I promise you'll laugh.
Don't do that. I need to delete that. Actually, there's another show I do. Big Yellow Taxi is really fun. I do that regularly at the Complex Theater in the Straight
Jacket. Complex. That's where I practice.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. It's a fun little theater right on Santa Monica, like the corner of Santa Monica Wilcox. So, Tuesday nights, except for the second Tuesday, so the first, third, and fourth Tuesday of the month, we do Big Yellow Taxi, 8 o'clock. So, definitely stop on by.
Is it a free show?
It is free. Bring some cash to donate. Yes.
They offer refreshments?
No other refreshments, just beer, just cash for beer. Yes, it's a fun little
What type of, is there a variety of beers or just one type of beer?
Usually like Miller Lite and Tecate. It's
there you go. You can choose Tecate or Miller Lite.
Yes. Hey, cheap beer, free improv show. Laugh your ass off. You can't complain. Also, look out for Mr. Logic with South Bay Hyundai, and hit me up on Facebook if you need any other commercials.
And also check out the Fiesta Movement short film.
Thank you.
Fiesta Movement, the movie, is on Wood and Steel, youtube.com/woodandsteel. There's the making of, which we had a fucking blast doing, man. Like, we were at the Desert Springs, outside of Palm Springs, you know, Pioneer Town. We went to Big Bear Lake.
Epic.
Man.
Yeah, look out for Steve and I, and the Wood and Steel video is coming up. That's Wood and Steel YouTube channel. Awesome shorts.
Hell yeah, people. Then afterwards, after you keep on checking his stuff and some of my stuff, because I'm part of the Wood and Steel, then you can go to stevedes.com and check when I'm going to be touring, if I'm going to be in a town near you. I talked to one of my fans. It makes me laugh when I say fan because it makes me feel special. But I talked to one of my fans. And she's like, when are you coming to Texas? I'm like, oh, that's cool. They want me in Texas.
Yeah.
So someday, we'll see when. But hopefully I go and I do a little comedy showcase somewhere over there. And
Well, Texas is where I'm from. What part of Texas? Where
should you go? I believe Houston.
Yeah.
I believe.
Houston's good for comedy.
Not sure.
You need to hit Houston.
I think she's from Houston.
Okay. Well, you need to hit up Houston. They've got a good comedy scene. And Austin's really good, too.
Yeah, I'm pretty popular in the South for some reason. Arizona girls love me. They want to fuck the hell out of me, them little Mexicans over there.
It's those dark eyes and that mocha skin. Yeah.
It's that Puerto Rican blood. They're like, ooh, Caribbean. We don't get that on this side of the world. We just get tacos. We don't get platanos.
Mia grande.
Yo quiero Taco Bell.
That's about as good as Spanish I get. I got the burrito.
Burrito, taco.
Taco, burrito.
Taco, burrito.
Taco flavor kisses.
Casa Bonita.
Casa Bonita.
South Park fans out there. I have a friend of mine that, you know what Snapchat is?
Yeah.
I have a friend of mine.
That app is literally only for dick pics. Literally. Swear to God, that's why they invented it.
Don't say it. I sent a dick pic once there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sent it to my mom by accident.
Thank God. Snapchat will delete that right after you send it.
And then she took a screenshot.
What did your friend send you on Snap?
He sends me a lot of South Park clips. Every time he's watching South Park, he's like sending 10 seconds of it, and then he's laughing. Like, he waits for the punchline, and he's like, And I'm like, this fucking moron.
Yeah, that sounds terrible. Your friend is wasting your day.
I know. He is. No. But honestly, people, thank you so much. I want to thank Ken for being an amazing guest. You get a high five, sir.
Thank you, Steve. I'll throw that five back at you.
There you go. Only awesome people get awesome high fives. Yes. And yeah, people, I want to thank all of you for listening to the Steve Dez Island podcast. Everybody around the world. I know I'm very popular in Australia now, in England, in China, in Iraq, in the Middle East, people, United States. Thank you so much for your support, guys. Thank you for spreading the word. I know we've been going hard and blasting the iTunes front page for, 5 weeks straight? That's freaking awesome. And I want to thank all you guys. And I want to thank Carl Tart, my very good friend, amazing improviser. He's off to Amsterdam for a year to do improv over there because he booked it. Hell yeah. But he's awesome, and he's the one that told me that we were even in the front page of iTunes because I didn't even know. Nice. But yeah, guys, thank you for your support. Thank you for sharing it with your friends and family. And when you're listening to this in traffic or when you're going to sleep or whenever you're listening to this, I want to say have a good morning, have a good evening, have a good afternoon, whatever time it is. Just have a great day. Yeah. Go out. Do something. Kiss somebody. Maybe punch a baby in the face. Don't do that because you go to jail.
Definitely.
But all I want to say is love one another. Mm-hmm. Interact with your neighbor. Mm-hmm. And get a good night's sleep.
Amen.
Because we all need it.
Yeah. Keep it classy, Internet.
Keep it classy. I'll see you next week.
Dez Island Podcast. Be sure to visit stevedez.com for more information about this episode, as well as past and future episodes. Rate and review this episode on iTunes. Don't forget to follow Steve Dez on Twitter at SteveDezTV and like him on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/SteveDezShow. See you next time.